Fuck you.
No, fuck you.
Nerd off, nerd off, nerd off.
Hola, and welcome to another episode of The Nerd Off, the Blackout Test Premium Nerd Podcast. I mean, it's pretty simple. It's all right there in the title. Today, I do have guests, as always. My first guest is somebody that's been on the show quite a lot for a person that thinks they are not a nerd. It's Karen. What's going on?
How y'all doing out there?
Oh, doing great, Karen. Doing great.
Oh, Lord, thank I ain't you. Get no hand claps.
Glad you could join us. It's really awesome of you. Those claps weren't as loud as I would like them to be, but that's what happens when you're not a full nerd, Karen. You know, if you're a full nerd, you get the full applause. We also have my man Chris from the Insanity Check podcast, and he's always on here just about. So what's up, man?
What's going on, people? What's going on?
It's good to have you here, man. The audience.
Good to be here. Oh, yeah. Full clap, full clap. Mm-hmm.
The audience appreciates him being here, you know. And we have my man Aaron Rand Freeman of Everything Twib. What's going on, Aaron?
Yeah, nothing much. Am I going to get some time of applause? Can I get an applause break with reasonable volume?
I like that it's a classy applause, too, you know?
It's not like I said something that impressed white folks, really.
Right.
I like that.
You know what? Black people need to stop saying the N-word.
Black people need to pull their pants up.
I agree with that. These guys are smart.
Yeah. Well, what really needs to happen? White cops need to stop beating black people.
Oh no. Yeah, the crowd turned quickly.
I lost them. Wait, no. What I meant was stop having kids out of wedlock.
There you go. You're back on track. You won them over. You won them over.
Oh, dear.
I think stop. I don't see what's wrong with stopping frisk. If you're not doing any crime, you should be fine.
Okay, there you go.
Standing ovation right there. A standing ovation right there.
Right. Well, yeah, it's the Nerd Off. you know, we're here to talk about nerd shit. I actually have right until 5 to do the show, so I'm going to get right into it. First things first, as I ask everybody every time we do the show now, what have you been playing? Karen, what have you been playing?
I've been playing the hell out of my game, Kingdom for Keflins.
Mm, Kingdom of Keflins?
Kingdom of Keflin. Mm-hmm. And it's like I said before, it's a really, really simple game. You 10 and under, shout out to you because we're probably friends. And I got some downloadable content. Man, it's the best day ever. I got that downloadable content. I'm doing all kinds of shit. My little people upgrading. You used to, max out at 5. Cause like, as your workers work, cause basically it's a really simple game, but your workers like do little shit around the kingdom, like, get wool for you, you know, chop trees, rocks and all that shit. Well, they used to max out at 5. And so, with my downloadable content, I hit one of them upside the head, cause that's what you do. You pop them upside the head and they get upgrade.
What kind of message is this game treat?
It's very valid. That you can tell.
The Chris Brown DLC back?
Yeah, yes. The valid.
Sandwiches now.
Yes. And you can kick them and you can, like, kick them across the screen. If you want to abuse somebody, it's a very abusive game. If you feel like abusing, just tearing up shit. And I popped one upside the head and he went up to 6. And I was like, cool. And then I got 2 more, like special areas of the game I could do. So I'm all geeked out right now playing that and playing it for hours and hours and hours.
Oh. See, you're such a nerd, yo.
Yeah.
Such a nerd. Like, I remember the first Nerd Off was like, I'm just here because, Rod's doing a show and I'm not really a nerd. Now all of a sudden, he's over here talking about all these games and popping people in the head to get experience points and raise. Like, you're such a nerd.
It's a simple game, though. It's not complex.
You are aware once you get excited over DLC, it changes the game, right? It's a totally different dynamic. Once you're like, oh, shit, I get to download that edition?
Right.
What?
I did. I got so, I'm not even gonna lie, I got so excited. I had to tell Roger about it. I was like, oh, I got some downloadable content.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's you're nerd level 2.
Yeah. Non nerds are sitting there going like, what the fuck is a DLC?
Right. True.
You know. So What about you, Chris? What you been playing, man?
Actually, I haven't played anything this week. What I've actually been doing, because we're going to talk about this later, I've actually been spending more time, because I've had the time to do it, reading more comic books. So I've gotten a lot of older comics and comic arcs that I haven't really picked up on. So I went and got basically all the Flashpoint comics. I downloaded those, started reading some of those. I finished Watchmen. I read Watchmen again. And then I also finished Josh Whedon's entire run of Astonishing X-Men, which is excellent, by the way.
I need to get that, man. I don't think I've ever read that.
Dude, when you read that, and I've always, I mean, I've read the first, I think, 12 of that. Because the first 12 are also on those, in those six episodes they did on Netflix. You can get them, the Astonishing X-Men motion comic or whatnot. So I went and downloaded the whole thing so I get the whole entire story. When I tell you that it's one of the best X-Men stories I've read from start to finish, man, he understands how to write the characters, and you see the interaction between the characters that we got in Avengers, which made Avengers so good. Just the way, the side conversation, like remember the conversation between Tony Stark and Bruce Banner in the lab? Yeah. They're going back and forth?
Yes.
You get shit like that. So there's a time when the Thing shows up and the X-Men are there, and the Thing and Wolverine are having the conversation back and forth. And this is after they had come up with the whole mutant cure thing. So the Thing goes, oh, man, I thought they came up with a cure for your kind. And Wolverine's like, what, you're a mutie hater? He's like, no, I mean Canadians.
Yeah.
That shit had me dying. And then there's another time when Colossus and Kitty finally are having sex, right? First of all, they're having sex, and she falls through. She phases through. Sex is so good, she phases through the floor. But then the next morning, and this is the best panel, it almost has no dialogue in it. Colossus and Kitty walk into the kitchen, and Logan's there eating cereal. There's one panel of him looking at Peter, then he looks at Kitty in the next panel. The last panel is him eating cereal again, going, about time. Yo, it's hilarious the way they do it. And his dialogue and interaction. I mean, the story's good, too. But just the way he brings everything together, it was really good. So I finished reading that. And then I also went back and read Days of Future Past. And we'll get into that one a little bit later. Okay. But let me just tell you, it does not hold up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. So
a lot of comic book stuff is like that. So yeah,
right. Makes sense. And I think we forget that sometimes. But yeah, dude.
Yeah. Wow. After some people didn't like Dark Knight Rises, I went back and reread Nightfall, and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot. Yeah.
So I have a theory. We'll do this a little bit later. I have a theory about Fox and comic books, but we'll do that a little bit later.
Oh yeah, I have a theory about this shit too. I have a theory, but not comic books. I have a theory about. Well, yeah, you're right. We'll talk about it in a second. Hey, Aaron, what you been playing, bro?
I downloaded a game called Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons with the most generic title I've ever experienced. It might as well be called Story: A Tale of Characters in a World. But yeah, it's interesting insofar as you're playing a co-op game by yourself. The right analog stick and the left trigger control one dude. And then the right analog stick and the right trigger control his brother. Mm. And you play it, and it takes a little while to get your brain together on it, by the way. I feel like it's like an activity for if you have to have your masters in modern video games. Like if you're someone that just started playing Call of Duty a month ago, and fuck with it. But if you've just been playing first person shooters since Halo came out 11, 12 years ago, then you're good. But yeah, it's one of those two person companion journey stories. Got all kinds of feels, and it works. And I never realized the connection, literally just the connection. It's something about the idea of control, using one controller to control two halves of one game and two separate people. It works really well. It's on Xbox Live Arcade. I think it's like, what was it? I don't even know how many Microsoft points I have. I just threw money at it. It's like 10 bucks or so. And I realized, though, I have a thing for these companion journey games. Eco, Last of Us, those things get to me real easy. You can do two people on a journey, like other people, like I get bored, like nope, if they are walking across the countryside in any way, shape, form, or fashion, I am there. I want to hear the story. I want to watch them talk to each other. I want to watch them look at butterflies. I want to watch them go to the record store, all that shit.
Another thing that'll get me about companion games are even the ones where your companion is just like an animal or something will get me. Where it's just like, I thought that horse is going to make it with me. And now he's dead. And, you know, it's like, I'm all alone in this world. Like, I actually will tear up at some shit like that.
A game did some shit this morning. I just finished it this morning and it did some shit. And something happened and I was like, oh, that's not good. And then I found myself doing something, all of a sudden I just started tearing up. Cause I realized this was what the game was setting me up for, this moment here, and it worked perfectly. And I was sitting there and I had to put the controller down and I had to wipe my eyes. One man tear.
Of course, one
man tear. Mm-hmm. And then I had to take a minute.
Yeah, I hate when it works and they do get me, because part of me is like, oh man, what a great job writing and executing this game. And then part of me is like, you son of a bitch. you knew what I was going to do.
Asshole.
Right. Yep. You knew what would happen.
That's like the end of, we're going to do the Playing Dead, like The Walking Dead. Man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was cursing that entire last like 10 minutes, dog. I was so mad. Like, yeah. Fuck you, game. Yep. Fuck you.
There was one point where I was like, I refuse to go forward. Like, I knew this was coming. I put the control. I had to pause the game. I did other stuff for like an hour and a half. I went out, got food, came back. Like, nope.
I know there's been a lot of heated debate about it, but Mass Effect 3 got me like that.
Oh yeah.
I stared at them choices for a good 10 minutes. Like, I was like, nah, it's gotta be like another way.
Dude, I don't normally do this, but when they gave me them three choices, the original three choices the first time, I stopped the game and was like, no, it can't be like this. And I went and I Googled that shit, was like, no, you're not gonna fucking do this. And then when I realized there was no other fucking way, I just sat there like, damn you.
I went back through all the choices in my head and shit like, now which one do I just get to live, get a nice house, marry my boo, and have a kid?
I contend that that is the reason why so many people hated the ending.
It had
nothing to do with, our choices didn't matter. It had everything to do with, like, it was an emotional choice. Like,
there was on my first playthrough, I made a version of myself, and I threw myself into the abyss. That's cool. But it's me. I'd do that. Like, Aaron would do that. If it was, like, Aaron or the universe, like, all right, cool, all right, whatever, just build a statue. Yeah. But my second character was like just a female that I literally built her like I would build my daughter. Like what if I had a daughter and she was a space super soldier? What would she look like? And I literally put time in and I was like, all right, so this is my kid. And then at the end of Mass Effect 2, I was rocking. I was like, yeah, my daughter's so badass. And at the end of Mass Effect 3, I was like, you want me to throw my daughter into what? You want me to put my daughter? No, that's not me. Fine, but not her. Not her. No.
I was like, yo, so Anderson's alive, right? Why can't we just send Anderson in that joint?
Oh.
Yeah.
Like, it don't have to be me, right? Can we get somebody else, somebody with cancer or something like that? Like, you're gonna die anyway. It doesn't have to be me, does it? Yeah.
There's got a lot of sleepy people in it. How about one of them sickly ass people? Come on.
Right. What's the word? There's gotta be somebody still left on the Citadel, right? It's like, come on.
Anything else you played this week, Aaron?
Nothing much. I didn't have a lot of time. Saw Flashpoint, played Brothers, and pretty much laid face down in my bed most of the week.
Alright, cool. I played that Crizzalicious, Crack Dizzle, Crackdown.
Yeah,
it's free. If you got Xbox Live, you can go download it for free if you're a gold member.
And they be getting jacked up. I happen to be looking at the screen and Roderick's man fell, and when he hit the ground, his like head went one way, his legs like crossed halfway up his back, and I started busting out laughing. I was like, why is he falling like that?
It's like, cause I just survived a grenade from a fucking 35 story foot fall. But
I remember when I used to try, when I first had Crackdown, nobody paid any mind, and I had people say, why do you play this so much? And then I would be like at max driving level and step into a car and have it transform and then look at the person.
Right.
That's it. Like, however you feel about this here is how you feel about Crackdown the whole game. Whatever, if this got you going, if I stepped into a wheelbarrow and it turned into a Hummer around me because I got that kind of juice. If you like that, you'll like the game. If you feel nothing, then so be it. All right.
Yeah. The first time I like jumped about 45 feet in the air to another building that was a good half a football field away. I was like, oh yeah, I see. Like when I played the first hour just going, I don't know, man. I don't get it. Like it seems pretty simple. My guy, you know, I'm dying and shit. I'm trying to go fight these bosses. And, after a couple of those hoke up moments where you level up, where it's just like, your shooting is now increased, agent. And you know, you do the whole, oh shit. And it's like, you can jump 25 feet in the air. I was like, wait a minute. Let me try this. This is dope. You know, so I'm in.
I never realized how powerful the explosion powers were until I accidentally killed someone who jumped on my server. Like, I was just running around and some dude was on one star, and I was like, oh, cool, he needs help. I'll fire a missile at him. I don't even know where he went. His body disappeared. He signed off the server. I don't know where he is.
You might have killed him in real life.
In real life. I may have vaporized him in real life. So, I don't know.
Somewhere a dude's just sitting in his pajamas dead in front of his Xbox.
His mama ain't went down there and found him yet.
Yeah, Aaron's,
that's how spontaneous combustion happens, yo.
Yes. I started over at level one and everything, as soon as I put the game in. Like, I'm enjoying leveling up. I will say the only thing, that I'm picking up so far, and this is one of those, like, is nitpicking, and I admit it, but, game might be a little racist towards the Mexicans.
Yeah.
Los Muertos might have got a little. I can't tell if it's racist because, I mean, honestly, it's accurate. You know, I actually like when they don't pull punches and act like everything is so multicultural and all this shit. Like, I actually appreciate them attributing accuracy. But what makes it racist isn't the fact that all these, like, people are like, you know, Juan Gonzalez is the leader of this. It's the fact that the dude saying it is the whitest voice ever. And it makes it more racist. And then they have little jokes in there. And I'm like, that's not, you can't be making these jokes about these Mexican people, dude. Like,
you know, it sounds like, it's almost like the white voice on like World Dangerous Criminals or like cops, right, or some shit like that.
Yes.
It's like Juan Gonzalez, yeah, the Mexican, you know, just like, oh, dude, you're getting a little excited here, man.
Yeah. Like, I don't appreciate this. And everybody that you, kill is like other races, I think. Or at least I know two of them are like, one's an Asian gang and one's a Mexican gang. And I think there's a black gang too. So it's one of those like, a little racist, but okay. You know, like, I'm having fun. I'm going to just ignore these, videos about, you know, all these characters.
I did care. I remember when I was playing, I did care until the black dude I was playing as powered up and got dreadlocks. And then I shut the fuck up because I got dreadlocks. And that was my entire life arc right there. Having no hair and being scrawny and then getting a little bigger than having an afro. And all of a sudden, like, you guys think it's like a spiritual journey, and I got twisted. No, one day I graduated from a class, and boom, I just had fucking dreadlocks down in the middle of my back. So once they captured my experience, I was like, fuck this, fuck the Irish and the Chinese and the Mexicans. They captured my life experience as a person with dreadlocks.
I just picture Aaron getting his like last grade. Or taking the last test, walking outside the door of his classroom, and then just going,
I ragdolled out some white folks in that university. I came out and they got ragged. I don't know. I am assuming they're okay.
Big ass explosion and shit behind them. Then Aaron jumps 35 feet onto the top of a building and just runs off.
Right.
Like, oh, what happened to him? He just graduated. He leveled up. So.
Right. Yep. That's the thing. If you gave me those powers, I wouldn't be reasonable. If you gave me powers and I blew up a block and all of a sudden I could jump and I had the powers to crack that dude, I'd be like, I wish I could say I'm sorry, but I ain't, and jump away.
Hey, since you were talking about games right now, yeah. All you guys might have gotten the email, or even since you guys have been on Xbox, see this that just came out. The Xbox is we're going to start using money instead of points.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, yeah. We're going to talk about that. I have that on here. You know.
I just got the email, so I wasn't even sure if you guys had even heard about that yet. So.
Oh cool. Yeah, you know, it's the Nerd Off, baby. Any movies that you guys saw? Karen and I saw Elysium.
Mm-hmm.
I was not that big a fan of it, but some of it wasn't terrible. I'll put it that way. No. And there were some parts that I did enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's no District 9.
It sure ain't.
And I forgot until I was talking about it last night. I forgot that some people were mad at District 9 for the portrayal of how it showed indigenous Africans, in the movie. And I actually have like Nigerian friends that don't appreciate how they did to not show the Nigerians as like hustlers and shit. But there's a couple things about that. Number one, to me, the overarching theme of District 9 is that humans are fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like they were fucking assholes gritty. From any race and any station in life. They were trying to abuse those aliens. Like we mm-hmm. got aliens here. They were in a very weak, fragile position, and we could not wait to shun them, put them in their area where, you know, we could cordon them off, and then we only wanted to use them for shit. At one point, I even think they had like alien prostitutes. Like it, mm-hmm. they,
right.
like they completely went there, and I loved it because, I love the idea that, humans ain't shit. It's a fundamental belief of my life, and I do think that's what would happen if aliens did land here and they weren't in a position to destroy the fuck out of us. We would immediately be like, okay, now what are we going to use them for?
Or help us. That's what I loved about the movie too, that the aliens that came here, and I think they even said this in the previews, that this wasn't like your typical alien movie where they come to Earth movie where the aliens are so much more advanced to us that they help us or they invade us. This one, they're more advanced than us, kind of, but they're in no position to help themselves. We have right. to help them, and then it turns into the whole typical what we see these days with how we treat other human beings is, oh man, they're basically welfare. They're basically taking up all our resources, man. Mm-hmm. I would say we just go back home. It was like that's exactly how we treat regular human beings, dog.
Yes, we
like,
do.
It made like, sense to me, and then like also yeah. the fact that they showed that some of the people who had been typically oppressed in the world. We're still like, we're in a better position than your ass, so we ain't helping you either.
Yep,
and we're gonna exactly. try to do, like, I feel like that's a human trait, not just a, well, he's African or whatever. And then the main character in that movie, if people remember, starts off as a huge fucking dick.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets put in a position where he doesn't have a choice but to develop a character arc and become a better person. But only after every fucking thing he knows is taken away from him and he's turned into an alien. So like he done, and it wasn't even on some like, I'ma be noble about it. The whole time he's like, nigga, as soon as I can turn back human, I'm done with y'all. Like right. that's all I care about.
And he does that for 3/4 of the movie. It's not until almost the very end where he finally realizes, hey dog, it ain't gonna work that way, dog. You gotta start having a heart, you know?
Yeah. They like showing the little alien kid he befriended and shit. I'm like, yeah, he gotta change, but. You know, to me, I wasn't offended by the movie. I was extremely mm-hmm. surprised by the movie because mm-hmm. honestly, I didn't know the dude could do that. And then like the budget was really low.
Right.
And he still managed to get great visuals out of that, yes, which is amazing. He's also the person that did the live action Halo, 3, like 15 minute mini, video that was on Xbox for a while and on, I think it's still on YouTube. Which is really cool. And, you know, this movie, it feels like he heard the criticism and understood that, you know, people were not feeling some of the, you know, the themes in District 9. So it seemed like he dumbed it down, made it real straightforward. So I think people that were offended by District 9 might like this, but to me, it lacked in story. So.
Mm-hmm. A lot to me.
And we're going to review it today at 5 with J.L. Covan and hopefully Elon James White. We'll see. But we'll have a spoiler movie review because Chris hasn't seen it and I don't think Aaron's seen it. We'll have an actual spoiler review later.
Yeah, I'm going to go see it tomorrow. I mean, I've always thought that to me, I was like, you know, I don't think he's going to top District 9.
Yeah.
Because District 9 is an underrated, really good movie.
Yeah.
And so I didn't think he was going to top it. So I hate hearing you say that he dumbed it down because I thought that the stuff that people complain about in District 9 is what made that good.
Me too.
Yes.
I think people forget certain times with certain character arcs and certain movies that if you don't like it, it actually might not be because it's bad, but because it's actually good. Like,
yeah.
I remember a lot of people were complaining about, like, we talked about this all the time. We talked about Rick Grimes in The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. And people were like, yeah, I hate Rick. I was like, well, I don't want, and they were like, well, they need to change to do this. I'm like, well, you don't understand, you misunderstand me. While I don't like Rick and how he acts, I don't want them to change it because that's good. The same thing with Andrea in the Walking Dead. It's like, I hate her, but I need her in the movie because it's what makes the show good. Mm-hmm. Like, it generates those emotions from me. And that's good. That's what I want from a film.
And it should, a lot of times you need to allow for character arcs.
Right.
And for me, District 9 is not just a white savior movie. But you know, I just think if honestly, if you get offended at like people making, cause I know there's a part where they make a overall, like Nigerians be scamming people. So they scam the aliens. Mm-hmm. And some people were mad at that, and I was like, but motherfuckers make Nigerian scam artist jokes every fucking day. And my email fills up with that shit. Like, I can see the reference and not go, well, clearly that dude's a fucking racist. Right. But there were bigger issues at play. Like, I think the director's from South Africa, so there's beef between white South Africans and black South Africans, white South Africans, and all the rest of Africa that's black. So, like, I was like, I'm not trying to belittle y'all's issues, but that shit is bigger than me, and I don't understand it. I just enjoyed a 2-hour movie, and I don't want to get caught up in the politics of any of that shit. Like, if those are real issues in real life, I understand, and I'm not trying to, but honestly, I feel like he got scared off of that shit and made this movie less good.
That sucks. Hey, and real quick, yeah, it's still fuck Lori Grimes, just in case anybody wanted to know. It's still fuck her. I'm glad she's a piece of shit in the comics and The Walking Dead. But
yeah. Team fuck Lori. All right, man. Did y'all see any movies this week? Anything y'all want to talk about? Oh, we also saw Justice League Flashpoint.
Likey a lot.
I think we talked about it a little bit last week, but now Aaron is here. Aaron, that Aquaman son.
Son.
I don't know I don't know who I sue, but because I always tell Rod that in a Justice League movie, like in a series of Justice League movies, there's no place to put Aquaman but make him a villain. Mm-hmm. There's no place for him but that, because it is a combination of his character. He's racist. He's far more, he far outstrips anybody on Earth, and he knows it. And also, I always say that the fans don't like Aquaman. Nobody likes Aquaman. So yes. There's no reason for him to try and wedge him in to be a hero. He should be angry. Because he should be angry at his treatment on Twitter. They disrespect him in social media. They disrespect his oceans by polluting it.
Family Guy.
Family Guy. They hate on him all the time. He should be mad as hell. Stay mad. Stay mad, Aquaman.
He was angry.
He was so angry. And he was a G among Gs. Like, this dude slept with Wonder Woman in plain eyesight of his wife. And didn't address it. Like, it wasn't even like, obviously we got to talk about that thing with Wonder Woman. Like, he just was like, I got other shit to do. Call you in the morning, and dipped out like it was nothing, man. Like, that scene, I was just like, Aquaman is full villain mode now. He don't give a fuck.
And then when his wife tries to kill Wonder Woman and she cuts her head off, he gets mad at Wonder Woman.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, she was like, she tried, Wonder Woman was like, I was defending myself. She tried to kill me. He's like, that's my wife. Come on.
Cheating on her. Now she's dead.
Right. Just because I sleep with you in front of her does not
give
mean
you the right to kill her.
Right. You can disrespect her like this. Come on.
You know the funny thing about that? So I've read the Flashpoint comics, and maybe we'll get into this later, but man, I tell you, I think DC really fucked up with the way they did the actual comics.
Mm-hmm.
But the best, and they had so many, I mean, there's 60 books in this Flashpoint series, which first of all, way too many. Yeah. Way too many other books. But the Wonder Woman and the Aquaman series, which are only 3 issues each, are the best out of everything. They're even better than the actual Flashpoint main comics themselves.
Wow.
But the Wonder Woman and the Aquaman ones are the 6 best books in the whole thing. I actually wish they had focused on that. Fuck the Flash. I like having the Flash have his own stuff, but their story arc and what happened with them and what went down with them is even better. They couldn't show it all in the film. and it's different than what they showed in the film, but it's even better than in the comics than what really happened. I mean, there's betrayal, there's treason, there's all kind of shit going on here, man. It's like, it's pretty damn cool.
Yeah, so, and those movies are normally excellent anyway. Although I think you had a great suggestion last week. They need to stop trying to just wedge it into like one 80-minute movie and start thinking about either making them series or making it a 2-hour movie or something, because, you know, they're leaving a lot on the cutting room floor with these. And
so here's the same thing about that. So I read the books, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thinking I'm trying to get some more of the backstory. And you do get a little bit more, but what I realized is DC rushed the entire series. They spread out too many books. I mean, they had other people in there. I don't give a shit. Who gives a shit about Booster Gold?
Yeah. Aaron does.
I'm sorry.
I'm about to say, who was Booster Gold?
Imagine Beyonce's new haircut.
I'm with shades. You. Yeah. And, now, that's a great name for that.
Somebody just brought up in the chat room, the Joker's Flashpoint story with, Batman and Thomas Wayne. Only 3 issues. Mm. And it's so rushed that you don't really develop any of the characters in
so there. So it might not even been a fault of the movie.
Back, I feel like it's not the fault of the movie. I think the movie did the best it could. Okay. And I'm not saying that the comics are bad. They're not bad.
You're right. No, 3 issues is not enough to flesh out the stories that they were alluding to in Flashpoint. The origin of Batman and the Joker
alone
was one of those, like, y'all not gonna explain nothing else?
I almost got angry. I was like, where are we gonna get is the car with the Joker's face and him talking about you don't even know where that's all we gonna get?
Where's the Joker at now?
And the crazy thing about that is, so I actually downloaded, I forgot to mention this in the comments, I downloaded The Age of Apocalypse. Mm-hmm. So I downloaded all of those, and it hit me. I'm like, holy shit. Flashpoint is basically the Age of Apocalypse for DC.
Yep.
And first thing I noticed when I'm reading the Age of Apocalypse is that Marvel did it completely different. One, only 46 total books. And even some of those came out after the actual Age of Apocalypse story came down. So it's really actually only like 40 books. Second of all, they did the from the viewpoint of the actual characters in the world and not the viewpoint of, I think it was Bishop, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Bishop was the one that played the Flash role in Age of Apocalypse versus Flashpoint. DC tried to focus on the Flash, and what that did was, just like his powers, ironically, they rushed through everything, and you forget all the other cool stuff that's going on. With Age of Apocalypse, whether you like the storyline or not, they go into everything.
Yeah,
I mean, you basically see what the new X-Men are, what the conflict is, what's really going on, everything like that. You get all that. You don't really get that with Flashpoint, unfortunately.
Yeah, the other thing, too, about Age of Apocalypse is that they actually were looking towards building a future with some of those characters. Like, some of those characters stayed into the other universe.
Right.
And lasted for a long time. One of my favorite comic series I ever read is actually X-Men, which is basically Cable without ever getting the Technovirus. Mm-hmm. And he was a beast. And he was the cause of a lot of this, you know, the time rifts and alternate histories and all this stuff. And then he just suddenly is now in the regular X world with everybody else. And it was kind of cool, man. So like that, they actually thought about it more than just, let's do a quick spinoff and then get people to buy all these comic books and then turn it back around. That series lasted like a good 60 comic books.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, and the problem, I just feel like they fleshed it out more. Mm. In 47 comics or less, then, I mean, like, some of the, they just have these other, like, in Age of Apocalypse, they went with the main character. So you had a version of X-Force, you had a version of X-Factor, you had a version of Generation X, and you had a version of the X-Men.
Yep.
Those are the four things, and they follow those four. You had other things that go around that, but those are the four you focus on. In Flashpoint, like I said, they bring Booster Gold. They have Batman and Superman. They have the Wonder Woman and Aquaman. But they each only get 3 issues each. Yeah. And then they have the other thing, like the Legion of Doom. They have these other things, and you're just like, dude, you're spreading yourself too thin.
Now for Aaron's sake, can you just tell us how badass Booster Gold was?
I mean, he did fight Doomsday.
God damn.
Yeah, so he did fight Doomsday and didn't die.
That's a come up.
That's my man Booster Gold, though. I would expect nothing less. That's my main man Booster Gold. I don't know. When you said it to me, it was like going to impress me. I was like, obviously, he would fight him to a draw at least, and that's probably, you know,
somebody else had to come in and save his ass, but, you know, he held his own for, he didn't die completely.
Have we tested Doomsday for performance enhancing drugs? Do they have those tests?
Yeah.
So all we can confirm there's an asterisk next to that, so I'm just saying.
Hey,
cool it was with the Doomsday joint.
Yeah.
In the comic, the U.S. government is actually using Doomsday as part of their, like, response team, and they have him controlled with mind control or some shit like that. And at one point, he loses the mind control and he goes fucking berserk and starts heading towards Metropolis, killing people. And they're just like, the U.S. government doesn't understand how strong and how unstoppable Doomsday is. And so it's actually kind of cool. But again, it's like, it kind of doesn't go as far as it could have. So,
hey, yeah. So did Booster Gold then strike out with a chick afterwards?
Cause that's
one of his favorite moves.
No, mommy's funny. Actually, I thought, I was like, wow, he does have this chick. This chick is going to go with him back to the future. Oh, she died.
I'm going to level with you all, be serious now, between you, me, and everybody else. I love Booster Gold, but it's the same way I love the Minnesota Timberwolves. I'm a Timberwolves fan. I have been since I was a little boy. I don't know why. I saw Booster Gold, and I love Booster Gold. He sucks.
Yeah, he's terrible.
My man Booster Gold sucks. He's a terrible franchise.
I like that they are so aware of his suckness that it has become cool. Like, it's only cool because they ignite, like, he's the only dude on the actual Justice League, like, TV show they had, where dude would literally strike out with a chick, like, 3 times an episode. And they kept
calling him the Green Lantern, even though my motherfucker's yellow.
Yeah, no. Nobody ever knew who he was, man. It was so good.
What's funny is, so at the beginning, I think in the first issue of the Flashpoint joint, because he comes from the future and he gets pulled in with the Flash, and he's talking about his origin and the thing. And I'm reading this, I'm like, wow, I've never heard of this guy before. I'm reading his origin, going, this guy is horrible. Why the fuck did DC decide to put
I love that dude, and that's my main man. If they ever let me direct the Justice League movies and all of its surrounding movies, Booster Gold's movie would be my favorite fucking movie to direct, to write. Yes. That shit. That is the time of my fucking life writing that movie.
Who's the dude that JC says that don't have to work again but never really puts out anything good that anybody gives a fuck about?
Oh, Memphis Bleak.
He's like Memphis Bleak for worse, dog. It's like, dude, how are you here? Like, what are you doing?
He's good, man.
Yeah, I'm surprised he ain't got no theme music. Booster Gold!
Oh,
he would if Aaron directed it.
But yeah, it's just things that they had that stuff kind of going on, and you're just like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I think Deathstroke gets 4. I haven't read Deathstroke's ones, but he has his own little 3-issue arc and things like that. It's just, it's okay, but it could have been so much better if they had focused on the actual world, like. With Age of Apocalypse, Marvel focused on the world itself and showing you how different the world was without Charles Xavier and with Apocalypse and with Magneto as head of the X-Men. With Flashpoint, they were kind of just always leading you to the point of, oh, Flash is going to fix this shit at some point because it's just too...
I just imagine Booster Gold having the same intro music as Cable in the Deadpool game. I don't know if you guys have heard it. Let me play it for you guys. Like, I just imagine something like that.
Is this thing from the wiki page correct? Booster's original uniform included a cape, which was later taken by Superman after telling Booster, you can't handle a cape.
Dude, if I had to direct the Booster Gold movie, he'd be such a dick. Like I would put my Justice League in the real world. I would have him be like a superhero in Miami. He'd have an annoying social media presence. He wouldn't save people on Fridays and Saturdays. He'd be perfect for the city because they love him because he's all neon and he's all over. Like they'd be pictures of him with Drake hanging out with Timberland at clubs and stuff. He'd be a dick. He'd be a terrible, terrible, terrible superhero. He'd be trying to tweet out pictures of the fucking Watchtower. That would be the point of the movie. It'd be like Nightwing and like Martian Manhunter have to go to Miami to tell him to calm the fuck down. And you're being a dick. You're not on the Justice League. You're making us look terrible. What the fuck is wrong with you? I'm serious.
Take that grill out of your mouth. Yeah,
like the truth. It would be like, and I know this is a bad movie for most people, but just follow me here. It would be like Jamie Kennedy in Malibu's Most Wanted.
Yeah.
It's only funny because he doesn't ever break character.
That's the truth. Like, that was a terrible ass movie.
Like if there would have actually been a point where at the end he genuinely turned white and was like, and that was how the movie ended, was like, all right guys, I'm just a regular white dude and I've been faking it the whole time. But like the fact that dude stuck with that annoying ass character the whole time, there's a little bit of respect you get at the end where you still, I don't like the movie, but you still you're like, okay, all right, that's how you really are. That's how I would do a Booster Gold movie.
Yep.
Is at the end he's still a dick. Like there's no like you don't end the movie.
Character arc in straight line.
Right, straight line. Like he's like not even responsible for saving the day, but he walks away with like
I want a movie with him. That's why I said I want a movie with him interacting with Martian Manhunter about 3 or 4 times. Martian Manhunter and Booster Gold talking about stuff.
Johnny Bravo as a comic book character is basically Booster Gold, man.
and here's the thing. So you finish the entire full arc with him, the 3-issue arc with him, and he doesn't fix anything. Because even in the Flashpoint, you notice in the Flashpoint movie, there's no Booster Gold in it, right?
Right.
You know why? Because by the time he meets up with Flash, Flash doesn't even see him because Flash knows some other shit and he gets sent back. Like, at no point does he ever bring anything to the goddamn story behind, dog.
That's beautiful, man.
Booster Gold.
I kind of want to read it now. All right. Well, we talked movie talk. We've talked our video game talk. Now we have a bunch of articles and stuff. But before that, one of the articles that actually sparked a lot of thought from me on Twitter. And I've been feeling this way for a while, but I hadn't been able to articulate it. And I don't know why. And I was feeling like, am I being anti-black for thinking this shit? But I saw this article. It was written by Bobby Roberts on PortlandMercury.com. I think it's a really good article, you know, as far as reading it. And I've had similar thoughts in the past, but he was basically saying, why can't Batman be black? And I'm not even going to get into the stereotypical, like, that's not how black people have gained wealth and power throughout time and all this stuff. Because I feel like that's kind of an obvious thing to be like, well, it's probably not too many black people with amassed billion fortunes from passed down from generation to generation. And there's probably not too many that are seen as the bastion of, like, their parents are seen as like the mascots of a city either, you know, maybe the Will Smith and Jada Smith or something, but that it's really just like a doctor is the mascot of the city and then he dies and it's like, yeah, that don't happen for us, but okay, let's say we lived in a world where that could happen. There was a few things. One, the guy kept saying Idris Elba could be a good Bruce Wayne slash Batman. And I think I'm Idris Elba'd out, man.
Yep.
Can we just stop saying he needs to do everything? Like, I'm not dissing this brother. I'm not saying he's bad. I'm just saying it seems lazy. Like, we're not, it feels like we're not even putting thought into it. To me, when people say he could be 007, I said, oh, there's a lot of thought put into that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He's British. He's done, Luther. He's done, you know, he's suave. I could ask, you know, race isn't an essential part to the James Bond character. He's been portrayed by other actors before. I could see someone making some sort of a reason for doing that. Although this latest James Bond trilogy completely fucked my head up, I didn't realize that that's supposed to be the same dude all this time. I was 100% sure James Bond was just a code name that insert white guy number 17 gets when he becomes the number one secret agent for Britain. And then this last one was like, let's go visit your childhood, James. I was like, the fuck? Hold up. What are we doing? Anyway, I know people love that movie, but I that third one fucked my head up. I was sitting in the theater with arms folded like, I reject this premise.
Yes, why are we blowing shit up? Why?
You know what? I still go with that premise. I still say that maybe his name is James, and maybe that's just... They changed his name and he's just still in character.
Yeah.
I'm not letting go of that shit, yo.
Yeah. He's interchangeable.
Yeah. They went to that nigga's house when he was a kid. I was like, what is this bullshit? It was like, yes, we're going to go to the Skyfall Ranch where you were an orphan. I was like, the fuck? Stop. Stop this movie. I want to get off.
But I just assume that every orphan is called James Bond in England, though.
Right. Because when they start with another person as James Bond next year, I'm going right back to anyone could be James Bond.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but so the other thing was they introduced him for Doctor Who, even, was another person that, like, they wrote.
And I said that's beneath him. I'm sorry, but that's beneath him.
He's yeah, because they said a black actor turned down Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if it's Idris, fuck yeah, he turned it down. It's a demotion.
Right. Like, I saw somebody say to Helen Mirren, I was like, she would demote that too. It's like, fuck that. Doctor Who?
He tried,
I know some people like that show, but come on now.
No offense to Doctor Who fans, but he trying to be a movie star, man. Like,
right.
You know, and there's no, like, I'm not trying to diss Doctor Who. It's not like that, but I could literally see his agent getting fired for putting that shit in his face in the first place. Well, he's like, dog, I just actually talked to DC. I'm trying to be Batman. Right. And they'd be like, oh, actually, let me put this, what were you going to show me anyway, Brandy? I just came to check on you. Well, it looks like you have a script in your hand. No, that's not a script, man. I was just reading, you know, I read some scripts for myself.
A coupon book, you know, I was just trying to shave off a few dollars in the money, you know.
Yeah.
Cost of living, you know.
Well, look, it says something, is that a Doctor Who script? Nah, that's not, this ain't even for you, bro. I actually supposed to go see, another black person.
Dr. Whoville. Yeah. Dr. Whoville. That's my doctor.
That's the name of my doctor. He gave me this to fill out. So, I could see him turning it down, maybe even being insulted to some degree. They were saying, like, Idris Elba should be a Jedi, and Idris Elba. I'm like, can we stop crushing on Idris Elba? Because another thing is, black people have a tendency to do this, and white people, like, really promote us doing this shit, is you can only have one black person do anything good at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Before him, it was Denzel and Will Smith.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Everything. Like, you know that there's a lot of roles that these guys could go fill, and it doesn't have to be just him. He doesn't have to be Black Panther. He doesn't have to be the Green Lantern. He doesn't have to be, and I'm not saying I don't want him to be any of these roles, but he doesn't it can be, you can name five black actors that can do it.
And, yes, you can. And be good at it.
And even more so, like, I'm starting to think people don't know any black actors.
No, that's what it is.
That's what it is.
That's what it is.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because I had that moment where I'm like, is this the 37th article I read about Idris Elba playing a superhero? Like, there's other better fits, man. I, like, right now, my choice for, Black Panther is actually Chadwick Boseman from 42.
Yep,
like, dude, he got that look, and he got that, I'm tired of these white people scowl. And
them eyes.
And yes, and he got them, what the fuck you just say to me, eyes. And if you seen 42, I don't know how you get out of, like, honestly, Chadwick could be T'Challa and don't even need the mask, dude. Like, he could do, like, I want him to spend most of the movie out of his mask just looking at Tony Stark like, motherfucker, I'm smarter than you. Like, I don't know why you think you should be talking down to me, but I solved this problem 5 minutes ago. I'm just not telling you because you white. Like, I want him, man, to be that. I don't know what his accent game is like. Which is another thought I had, which is like, man, Americans are ignorant as fuck, because the only way we can see the Black Panther being from Africa is to have a really thick African American, you know, African accent when speaking English. And I was like, you know, he could also just speak really good English and not sound like.
Yeah, he's a very educated man. Yeah. So,
like, if he's speaking English, he might not even have a strong accent, but that's just, you know, we're American. We can't really think outside the box like that. It's like, he's Asian. Where's his accent?
I think we forget how well some of these other actors who are, like, British, who have really thick British accents, speak English. Like, what got me was the guy that played Leah Dama. Mm-hmm. I didn't know he was British until I saw him on the British version of Law and Order. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I couldn't understand this motherfucker. But when he's on Battlestar Galactica, he speaks better English than me.
Dude, the first time Idris Elba spoke in his normal accent after I watched The Wire,
I was shocked.
Minds were blown, bro.
I was like, this is not the same. I was like, who y'all got on this?
Yeah. He was like, you know, I really felt the character had... I was like, the fuck is this dude talking like this for? Like, is he in character for another role?
No, right.
It's like, no, man, this is how he talked, dude. I was no, like, that motherfucker
Superman is British.
Yes, yes.
Superman is British.
This dude can't.
Isn't Rick Grimes British?
Yes,
he is. And oh my God, to hear him talking his normal voice, you're like, are you the same person with that old country drawl?
Right.
And you know what I hate? And you know what I hate though is personally, I can't do a Baltimore accent. Myself, yes. Dude, from I can't sound like Idris Elba sounds on The Wire. Like, you have to be British. And right. Matthew Nulty's also British.
Yes.
Do I have to be British? I don't know what the hell is going on.
British
it's
people,
Americans, it's only Americans that are bad at accents, actually, yo. It's
yeah,
like,
British people, fine with it, British so. People can act, dog. But so, you know, back to the major point though, I this is just, maybe I'm just fatigued at this moment. Maybe I won't feel like this later, but I don't want them just casting black people to be black in white roles. I don't want that. And I don't mean like we can't do it. I think we deserve better. Like, mm-hmm. One, we have a ton of black heroes that have not been casted well or at all.
Mm-mm.
And that's a fucking shame. We, like, why are we even thinking about rebooting the Green Lantern with anyone that's not black?
Mm-hmm. True.
Yep.
Like, you had your Hal Jordan and it's fucked up and I don't want to see that anymore.
That shit sucks.
So put a brother up in there. You already, cause the other thing is comic book writers have written the characters and have lush backgrounds for them already.
Yes, they right? do.
As opposed to just being like Bruce Wayne, let's just make him black. Spider-Man, let's just make him black. I like my dream scenario would be for Amazing Spider-Man 3 to actually end with the death of Peter Parker. And then that clip in the middle of the end cut scene. To be Miles Morales getting bit by that spider. And you go, whoa, what was that?
Some Americans would burst in the flames. I wonder what percentage of America would burst in the flames if they exposed our black spider, they revealed our black Spider-Man at the end of America.
Dude,
Spider-Man
if, 3. If young Jaden Smith got bit by that spider, and then, Ultimate Spider-Man popped up on that screen, motherfuckers would be mad. Mm-hmm. I'm not even gonna pretend that they wouldn't, but that's my dream scenario is.
Fuck yeah, that. I'm not saying I care about them bursting in the flames. Oh, that's okay. A statistical yeah. assumption. I'm not estimating. Yeah. I'm not yeah. worried about whether they do it. Fuck them.
Yeah.
No. Cool. Yeah. Well, I'm with you on this. Like, I hate that. Like, the latest thing was Michael B. Jordan as Johnny Storm. Two reasons why I don't like that. One is Fox.
Oh,
so
yeah.
mm-hmm. I don't want Michael B. Jordan is too good of an actor to be wasted on Fox's bullshit ass attempts at movies, comic movies. Two, it's like, well, how are you going to address it? Is Sue going to be black now? Because I feel like Fox mm-hmm. would be too lazy with it to address it as any kind of way. Because he's black, his sister's going to be Sue Storm. How are you going to address that?
Right.
Like you said, when people always bring this up, it's like, well, you know, let's make why can't Captain America be black? It's like, why do you need to? Mm-hmm. You have other characters who have backgrounds, who are black in the comic books, just use them. Like, right. why even try to create a problem that you know is going to be? One is an unrealistic problem. Other reason is, listen, it's like, you know, even myself, like, when I see a new character get the screen, I want to see, you know, if it's going to be Hal Jordan as Green Lantern, I want to see the white Hal Jordan because that's
right.
how he is in the comic books. Make them, if you're going to make it a black Green Lantern, fine, don't name him Hal Jordan, name him John Stewart because you have a black Green Lantern. It's just things like that.
Even and also, is it are people more excited to see a black character on the screen or to take a white character off the screen?
Yeah. That makes a difference too. And I think for me, and something Roderick brought up is this: if you're going to have a black character, have the storyline around him be for that person.
Not just that, I like, cause this is the other thing that, and this, to me, this is the flaw in the arguments that people are making. Or not the flaw, it's what I can't get by. Where they keep going, well, what does it matter? Why can't he be black? Why can't he be black? Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear why can't he be black. I want to have race as an issue in these worlds.
Yes.
Like, don't just put the guy in there and pretend like the world is sans racial issues, like race has no effect on
racial.
Yeah, yes. Like, if they do Idris Elba as Bond, I want race to be a thing. I mean, it doesn't have to be the overarching theme, but I would love for, like, him to attend one of these fancy ass galas in a tuxedo with a woman on his arm and a motherfucker hands him his keys like, yeah, man, it's the Porsche. You know, yeah, the Porsche over there. Mm-hmm. Thanks, man. I would love to have that moment, just a little wink towards, like, yeah, y'all, we know he black.
Mm-hmm. You know something? I think that I'm with you. The only character who I think the change would benefit for that, I think I've told you, Captain Marvel. Mm. I think Captain Marvel is written poorly in general. He's written like a goon, and he's a Superman visual, like, it's the Superman's cousin. Right. I don't understand how they have a comic book with just Superman again in red suit.
Right.
So, I've always thought that by making Billy Batson black and a little older, it gives a character naturally more impact. Like, it makes him separate from Superman, and the fact, the idea of a 17-year-old black orphan on the inner four.
You mean Shazam?
Shazam, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I'm sorry, I call it Captain Marvel. I realize people think about Shazam.
Yeah.
To be specific.
Yeah,
the idea of Billy Batson being a 17-year-old black inner orphan in the inner city and suddenly being given the powers of Superman, that has more impact. Just to even a slight understand, just a slight nod, the fact that this kid now has the ability to now, he can fix the world any way he wants to.
Yeah, see, that's an argument I can get behind, though, because I can, that origin is more, right, quote unquote, black as far as our society is concerned. Like, that happens to black children way more than white kids. So it's almost like, okay, yeah, I can see that happening. Like, and then to even throw it out here further, man, like, people that, cause I know a lot of people are on this, just turn so and so black.
No.
What if they did that shit with a black character that we like? Cause I actually, one of my biggest pet peeves about, The Last Airbender, and there are many, okay?
Oh, that fucking movie.
But one of my biggest pet peeves is that they just turn all the quote unquote good guys white for no fucking reason.
None.
They're aging first of all, if you watched it, Avatar The Last Airbender, pretty much the entire movie is about Asian history and culture. But they take this culture, whitewash them, And I'm livid as soon as I start watching the film. I'm like, wait, are they white too? What the fuck?
They mispronouncing names. Like, it was terrible.
Right. That's a different issue. But the point being,
Rod, just undid 2 weeks of hypnosis to remind her. I really had forgotten that the movie existed. I was just talking about this, and I was talking about the cartoon, and she said the movie, and I was like, "What are you talking about?" You really just ruined 2 weeks.
I'm sorry.
Of this moment. Nice job. That's not cheap.
I'm sorry, bro. It was. I didn't mean to do it. It's just. I did. But it was like, the anger I had at them just randomly doing it just because, it bothers me. And I know that white people aren't supposed to be able to have that kind of anger, but as just a fan of a comic book, I would have similar anger if you told me, well, we just casted a black dude because we thought we should have a black dude. I'm gonna be like, but did you like acknowledge that, you know, things are a little bit different for black people in this society as opposed to white people? Nah, we just, you know.
Well, here's my biggest thing about it, though. Like, we have black characters now that are on screen that are done terribly. Can we get them right first before you start saying things like, let's make Peter Parker black? Hold up, all right? At least right now, the white Peter Parker, he's doing all right.
Mm-hmm.
Can we get Storm right? Can we do that right first? Can we get that? Can we wait until we get everybody's been pushing for it? I'm waiting for it. They're going to do it. I'm not pushing them to do it any faster. Black Panther.
Right.
Can we let them get that done right? Can we see how Falcon turns out in Captain America 2? Like, let's get the characters we have there done right before people start talking about them. Yeah, let's take a big character like Batman and make him black now. Like, dude, we can't even get characters that are already black. Dumb crap. They were going to cast, when they were going to have Jon Stewart as a Green Lantern in the Green Lantern movie, they had
Common.
Did
you say Common?
I said Common.
Common.
Why?
Common as that.
His wooden ass acting, dude.
Right.
Like, man, and this is the thing I'm telling a lot of people is, you're putting race into the purview of a lot of motherfuckers who aren't used to dealing with it, and you took going like, write this about race. Write a black character with depth.
And what they're gonna do is when they
don't
get that
be shocked. Yeah.
They're gonna cast somebody who's black but has a big enough name who's probably gonna not be the right person for the character. So they'll do something like cast Idris Elba as Batman, even though I don't think he would be a good Bruce Wayne Batman.
Yeah. Or just the writing doesn't hold it up. Like, your writing has to hold it up. It has to flesh these characters out. And I don't, you know, like, it's starting to be a thing for me where I'm like, hold up, man. If you made me have to pick between, like, do you want a major character just to be black all of a sudden next week? Or would you rather them flesh out a B-level character? That is black, but has not been portrayed well in the past or on the screen.
Well, even an A-level character, dude. I mean, let's be honest. Storm's A-level.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, you know what I mean. But like,
it's like people. I know you're not doing it, but a lot of people try to make it seem like we don't get. Wait, there aren't any A-level
black characters.
Oh, we got A-level characters. We just gotta get them done right.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, I would take fucking like a Luke Cage.
Oh yeah.
In a appearance in another movie, not a Luke Cage movie, just him being in another movie and done well and making me go, damn, that dude was badass, and having the audience feel like Mark Ruffalo is the Hulk, like he's only in there for 20 minutes, but goddamn, it's the best 20 minutes.
Ain't that the truth?
Just do that with like one black character and you will appease so many people. They don't even know they want that. That's right. What, like, people already are thinking like, I just need Batman to be black. No, you need blackness to be respected. That's what's gonna matter more than whatever you do with these big characters. I think what the thinking process is, white people already care about Superman, so if Superman was black, they would take care to make sure it was done right. And I just don't assume that.
I think white folks would abandon Superman. I tell someone this, I don't want the hollowed out husk of any superhero, because if we made Superman black, I feel like white people would abandon Superman in mass.
Right.
I feel like there's no need for them to stick around. And even like you say, we assume that they'll care. No.
Right.
That is incorrect.
Especially if it's just cause.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Like there's a difference. Like, you can make an argument for Shazam that is not just cause, and people will go, I didn't care that much about that character, but now he's actually more interesting than he was before.
Exactly. Mm.
Even people that fucking hate, like, that, oh, it's a black person, some of those people are gonna hate anyway. But your average fanboy is like, I didn't give a fuck about a Shazam, and now he's Will Smith. I do care. He's played by Jaden Smith as a kid, and he turns into Will Smith as an adult. That will fuck people's heads up.
I'm tired of hearing this argument, because I remember when Captain America came out, and people were mad because Marvel had the audacity to show an integrated army in Captain America. I'm like, so you guys got mad at that shit and called that whitewashing history? Dude.
Yeah.
You make one of these major characters black, and all of a sudden, you're not going to be satisfied with just Peter Parker being black and growing up in high school. You're going to want him to have the black experience, and then you're going to be mad when they don't do that, because that's not Peter Parker's experience.
Right.
That's why I've always said that. While I haven't read the comics, I want to get into it. I'm going to add it to my, it's on my list of things to read, the new Ultimate Spider-Man with Miles Morales. Why?
Yes.
They created a new character and went that way. I remember when Andrew Garfield had that comment, had everybody going off about a gay Spider-Man, and I said, listen, I'm cool with that, as long as he's not Peter Parker.
Right.
Like, we don't have to, you don't have to transform the characters that we've known and loved and grown up with. I mean, let's be honest, even myself, I wouldn't want to see a black Peter Parker. Mm-hmm. I'd want to see Miles Morales. Why? Because that's the character he is. It's different than if, like, with, I saw somebody bring up Nick Fury with you the other day. Nick Fury and being black was created by Marvel in the yes. in the Ultimate Universe.
He was rewritten with Samuel Jackson in mind and without Samuel Jackson's fucking permission. They right. just did it. They were like, right. yo, when we do these movies,
we want Samuel Jackson.
Right. Play. We think Samuel Jackson, the kind of nigga that's going to read these comic books and be like, hey, that's me. And right. be in the movie. that was as simple as the shit was, and it right. worked. And like, and with Miles Morales, man, I got kind of pissed, and because I was like, I'm mad at when I talk to black people and they have this argument about blackness, black up these comic books, movies and stuff. I'm like, cool. Have you read Ultimate Spider-Man? Nah, man. Uh-huh. I'm just not. Uh-huh. I'm not telling you this because he's black. I'm telling you this because it's actually fucking good. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember when I first heard and I forget her name, but the artist who draws, and people were like, she's such a great artist. And I read it and I was like, I guess, I mean, like, it looks good to me. Yeah, like 6 issues in, they have another artist come in and I realized suddenly, oh, she's great because she can draw black people. Mm-hmm. And these other motherfuckers ain't never drawn no black people consistently. And, they got her back within like 3 issues that she was back on that panel. Cause it was
obvious. You can tell.
Yeah. And to me, that's like, oh, these people actually care. Cause they could have just been like, and now we're going to bring in this other artist who can't draw black people. Cause fuck it. But they actually were like, no, we need to get this back on track. This doesn't look right. And the stories are done with care. It's not just a bunch of black stereotypes. You know, it's not just, the kid, he's smart. He has an Asian friend. Mm-hmm. I don't want to give too many spoilers, but like, dude takes a year off from being Ultimate Spider-Man. Like, I could literally see a fucking 4-6 movie franchise just off of this storyline because it's that rich and that many possibilities. But then when I talk to people, I'm like, yeah, you should check that out. Now, I don't know if I'm going to read that. I'm like, if you won't read it, why the fuck would they put it on the screen?
Ain't that the truth?
Well, not only that, but then why would they make Peter Parker black? Like,
yeah,
you have now have your own character that kind of represents us. Like, that's what you want, then read it. Like, yeah. That goes into my other argument about I don't think a lot of people who complain about comic book movies read comic books.
True. Yeah. That's true, too.
So I figured that out.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's true. Those of us that did, many of them are just fucking forgotten. Like,
oh yeah, the nostalgia that we have for some of this stuff is a killer.
And good for good reason. Mm-hmm. People don't know that why they did this, but you forgot about those comic books because they were mostly bad, especially anything 90s X-Men related.
Ooh, dude, I was reading Days of Future Past because I wanted to. I was like, I don't know if I remember this storyline. And we're over here talking about, Fox fucking up this next Days of Future Past movie. So let me see this, because, people complain about the changes already. I read that, Joe, and I was like, listen, this movie might be bad, but don't you ever fucking complain about changes, because they have to make changes to put this on this goddamn screen. Yo, that was the overuse of thought bubble era.
Bruh.
Where everything was thought bubbles. Like characters would have full out 3 pages of conversations with each other, but in their heads.
Yo, remember the, when they relaunched the X-Men, and that first issue they were fighting Magneto, and mm-hmm. like page 2 is just a fucking 2-page spread of Magneto standing over the X-Men giving a essay. Like, mm-hmm. it's just essay. Bubble after bubble after right. bubble after bubble of talk. Like, it's just like, there's bubbles in between characters so you can put more words. And no one else is talking. It's just a page of Magneto giving a dissertation. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, does nobody remember this? Cause, as much as I don't even, like, I'm not even, as enamored with the X-Men movies as I was. That shit was better than that 90s mm-hmm. comic book era, like the era of pockets and shoulder pads.
Like, dude, I read Days of Future Past and was like, well, that's it. Cause it's only 2 issues, first of all. Mm-hmm. Right. So they didn't really explain it enough, and I'm like, damn, they're gonna do a whole. They gotta rewrite this shit and do whatever they gotta do. But dog, it's actually quite boring, and there's not a lot of action in it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, and this is considered one of the greater story arcs, and I'm like, dude, it's actually not that great. It's pretty bad. Like, we talking about how bad that Sentinel looked, dude. I think there might be 10 Sentinels in that entire fucking 2-story arc, dog. That are actually drawn. So it's like, I think, and this is my theory on Fox movies. My theory is that Fox is actually close for their movies are actually closer to the 80s and 90s comic books than we like to admit. And that is the problem with them. Like when you read Astonishing X-Men by Whedon, you'll see you'll be like, yes, this is just reads and feels like the Avengers movie, which is good because he has that perfect blend of dialogue and when to just use panels and action. There's not actually a lot of action or good drawn action in some of these older comic books, and they're actually quite corny and cheesy. And I'm like, wow, this reminds me of a Fox movie. Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. Fox movies. That's a good point. All right, I got to move on because, like I said, we got to be done by five, so I got to start moving on to other topics. But, yeah, man, no blackness just for the sake of being black. Come on, guys. We can do better, and we have seen better. Blade 1 and 2 are still two of my favorite comic book movies ever, and they just took a character that was actually B-level and just said, what if we casted it right? What if we took special effects and did it right? And what if we treated it seriously? And I fuck with those movies to this day.
And because he's B-level, guess what you can do? You can make it R-rated.
Yep. And you can change up origins as you see fit and shit. And also, you can help that man pay his taxes.
Yes, you can.
John Williams will John Williams will absolutely score the new Star Wars trilogy. We covered this last week. It wasn't much to say. But now Aaron's here, and I just wanted to make sure that was
it. It ain't nothing to say. It's good. I mean, they got me. They'll get me in the theater. If they were gonna have somebody else score John Williams score a Star Wars, I probably wouldn't even be able to go inside the theater.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm interested in is I want to know the baseball style contract that he signed, because the only reason he's retired years ago, the only reason why he scores movies is for his homeboy Steve, because they get along, apparently they grew up playing basketball or whatever the fuck they're doing, they hang out.
Yep.
So he only scores Spielberg movies, so for him to score the Star Wars movie, they had to be throwing something like maybe like $45 million guaranteed.
Yeah, and it's 7, 8, and 9.
Right.
Yep, they had to be throwing like maybe $13-14 million per movie. Like, they had to be throwing an outrageous amount of money.
Well, it's Disney. Yeah, it's Disney. They have money to waste. Oh. I'm thinking of the Lone Ranger, so it's like, they don't give a shit.
Oh.
Yeah. They don't give a shit about wasting money, so.
Yeah, it was like, and honestly,
we gotta make up for Lone Ranger.
A John Williams sound score is not a waste of money, no matter how much you have to pay.
I don't know who else would be scoring Star Wars, but you can't. You couldn't do it. So,
John Williams and JJ, yep, I'm down.
You know what probably happened is they walked up to John Williams and they said, all right, Mr. Williams, just tell us what you want us to pay you. And he wrote down some astronomical number and they said okay and started writing a check. He said, oh wait. Yeah.
They,
are you serious?
Disney.
I wanted you to get off the compound. Just stop. Wait.
Disney took the
this came with trucks.
Disney took the number. Turned it up, wrote something on it, flipped it back to him, and he flipped it over, and it was an extra zero. He's like, okay, well, we have a deal. Speaking of having a deal, Mel Gibson will be in Expendables 3.
You know what? I said this morning. I think they peaked with 2. 2 was the best they could do. Because to me, Expendables 2 was great because it was almost like a parody of those 80s action stars. And the people they're adding in now, I'm like, yeah, dude, you've had some, like, Mel Gibson had an Impossible White Man movie, but I don't really consider him an Impossible White Man.
Yes, I agree.
Let's see, he had Buddy Cop in Lethal Weapon series.
Right. He had Buddy Cop.
He was an Impossible White Man, but those aren't Impossible White Man movies.
He had Mad Max.
Is he
Impossible in that movie or just overwhelmingly gritty?
He was so gritty, but
very
gritty, but it was impossible.
Yeah, you know, think about it. You're right. He wasn't impossible at all because that motherfucker got smashed by Jet Li.
Yeah, you're right.
Still one of the best fight scenes of all time.
It is.
Is them two motherfuckers getting their ass whooped and then luckily beating Jet Li?
Right. Yes, it is.
One of the most realistic fights I stood up and clapped in the theater when they killed him because I was like, it's the only way. You would have to get lucky.
Yeah, because both of y'all are about to die.
Yes, most human beings on the planet are just waiting for Jet Li to hopefully slip on something.
Right.
And then they can win, because there's no fucking way you're beating that dude's ass. But Yeah, you know, that's a good point, man. I don't know that he's an impossible white man.
Nope, everybody else.
And so then they also added in, I don't know if this is in your list too, but they also added in Antonio Banderas too. And I'm like,
yep.
Again, I'm just like, dude, you're not known. Like, and that Expendables too, they had everybody, they even got rid of Jet Li, and they went total, like, impossible white man from the 80s and 90s, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, and they all had their own little one-liners. It was just like the perfect, like, tribute to impossible white man movies from that era, right?
Yeah.
What do you do with three?
Well, they're talking about also adding Nicolas Cage, Mila Jovovich, Wesley Snipes, and Jackie Chan.
Oh yeah, no, this is gonna be terrible.
Wow. Now let me tell you.
I think
now,
Ronda
Chris
Rousey from the UFC is gonna be in there, and then they add Gina Carano. I think they added both of them in.
I thought they were Fast and Furious. They're in this too?
Oh, wait, no, you're right. They're Fast and Furious.
So all right. Hey, check this out, though, Chris. Because you're going, how can they make this possibly good? First of all, none of them are good.
Right, you're right.
Two is just enjoyable. Mm-hmm. I can see this being good if they take it to the next level and have a team of bad, impossible white men versus the old school boys from the first two. Like, that would be kind of dope instead of having one person. But if you have, like, Nicolas Cage as the boss of Wesley Snipes, Jackie Chan, and Mila Jovovich, and Steven Seagal in there, I'm in.
I think it should be a team of younger, expendable people, like New Age, Impossible White Man. Like, they already wasted Scott Adkins, but someone like Scott Adkins would put, like a new Expendables group, like a younger group of Impossible White. Because they're here, like Guy Pearce. For example, like, you know, people that have been in these movies, you know, people that have been impossible before versus the older group. But and then also, frankly, they would help if they just made a coherent movie.
Yeah.
I kind of hated the second Expendables, even though it was funny. I kind of hated it.
Oh, I enjoyed it.
It's not good at
all. Oh, it's not. But my
issue wasn't with that. It was the action itself, like in a movie where I'm looking for these white guys to shoot people that aren't white. I'm expressly looking at this movie for this purpose. And that was badly done.
It was terrible. It was terrible. You will never catch me defending this movie.
But I
just enjoyed it.
I loved every second of it.
I get some of my love for Expendable 2 for one scene only. That one scene where that one dude is left, and they go, one of them is left.
Son.
Every single one of them empties their goddamn clip into that dude. I was like, I love this goddamn movie.
There was no reason.
And there was no reason for the dude other than bad 80s movies. And I had that feeling like Commando, where Arnold Schwarzenegger's going up that the back end of that joint, one man taking an entire fucking army with just one unlimited bullet gun.
They had me the second they busted that lame ass Chuck Norris joke.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
And the whole audience was like, ha ha, they did it. And I was like, I'm in. I don't give
a
fuck.
In.
You guys do whatever you want because you finally understand that this is a shitty concept.
Of course.
With a bunch of shitty actors.
Yes.
And you're not trying to pretend anymore. That first movie, they kept trying to pretend.
Oh, terrible. Yeah.
Yeah. They were like, Jet Li feels left out because he's short.
It's not that they're good, but I like it because they didn't give a shit in number two.
Yeah,
that's
true. Go ahead, Karen.
That was a peak. They cannot get better than that. They can't make it more enjoyable than that.
Yeah.
Because I just don't feel like these other guys really need this money. Like,
that's true.
What is Mel Gibson doing, yo? Like,
I'm just saying, Chris, you're making arguments for why the movie can't be good. We know it can't be good.
No, well, it's going to be terrible.
It can still be horribly enjoyable with people.
I enjoy a lot of terrible-ass movies.
I don't think it can be horrible, enjoyable enough. I think it just might be horrible.
It can be. I'm holding out hope, dude, because people made the same arguments for number two. They was like, man, these old motherfuckers, I don't care about. And then as soon as I saw them, I was like, five again. And I was like, oh yeah, that's right. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger. Wesley Snipes shows up and says some shit about betting on black, I'm telling y'all motherfuckers, I'm not even gonna pretend like I'm above it. I'm gonna be good and I'm gonna be in. So
I have my doubts, but I gotta be honest. You're right. As soon as that trailer comes out, I'm gonna be like, yeah, so, matinee, right?
is Harrison Ford gonna be in this one too?
No.
He is.
No.
Yeah, no, Harrison Ford's gonna be in it
too. He is? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in, dog. I don't give a fuck, dog. If like, soon as Nick Cage do some overacting, I'm good.
Do the over that, the screaming. You seen that video, right?
Yes.
The film is of Nicolas Cage freaking out.
Yes.
I need some of that. If you don't do that in the movie, then it's fucking trash.
Right. I need him to be the boss of the bad guys, dude.
That would be epic.
I think
Mel Gibson is. Mel Gibson's gonna be the main bad guy. He's gonna be the main villain.
Okay, well, give me Nick Cage as the wild card number two. Let him be the wild card second in command dude. Don't make him a good guy. Anyway,
by the way, it must be fun as hell to have your multi-million-dollar production have the lowest rung possible of standards. Like, it's like, you just do one, two, think we're good. You know how much fun that must be? That must be just the world must be on, just lifted off your shoulders. You ain't gotta do nothing but like four or five things. people cool.
Aaron, you gotta realize that's all their careers are.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just this movie. Mm-mm. This is the simplification of what they do, period, is this bullshit. Mm-hmm. That's why Bruce Willis quit, because he realized, I can act. The fuck am I doing in this shit? No, I'm not. Give me $1 million.
He's not coming back?
No, he was like, give me $1 million a day.
For four hours, dog. He wanted $1 million an hour. Yo.
He was like, I can actually do other things with my life, y'all. Y'all are stuck in this franchise. I'm out.
I was just about to bring up that Bruce Willis shit. That shit was hilarious. When they said he wanted $4 million an hour, and they only wanted him for 4 hours of shooting, that means he was really going to have another cameo like he did in the first movie.
Yes.
He wanted $4 million for that shit. Like, listen, I'm too good for this shit.
I got options, y'all.
I'm thinking of the Die Hard movie, dog.
Right. He was like, I don't need y'all to help me sell a movie, okay? Y'all need this shit. I don't have no taxes to pay. I'm good. Oh, man. Anyway, all right. Xbox One's live, the DVR feature requires Xbox Live Gold subscription.
Oh, okay.
Ooh. A couple people got mad because of this, which I say,
why? You need to pay for it.
To which I say, who has the Xbox but not the Gold subscription?
Who has Xbox Silver? I'd like to meet that individual. Someone just chilling with Xbox Silver, like, it's all good, just using the Xbox.
I don't need to be online. I don't need no friends. I could chill by myself.
And I want to know, like, who was going to go spend $500 for an Xbox but be like, I'm good on that gold bro.
No, I don't need no gold.
Every penny counts.
I'll take the copper version.
Well, see, Rod, you don't need... Oh, wait, you do need PS Plus for PlayStation 4, so you're going to pay the $6 anyway.
Yeah, you sure do.
Pacific Rim is bigger than Dark Knight Rises in China.
I believe that.
Right now, I think the international... Well, I checked this morning, and I want to say the international box office was right at $300 million. It costs $200 million. It's like a budget. Word on the street is you need to make double your budget to justify a sequel or whatever.
I've seen people say that that might be what is official, the official numbers now, but unofficial, I think the numbers are over 400 now.
Okay, good. All right. I didn't have much to say about it.
So we're going to get a sequel. I can't wait.
Del Toro already has talked about his ideas for a sequel. It's basically said it's already written.
Mm-hmm.
But, he just, you know, if they make the money, he wants to do it. And
yeah, boy.
That, you know, as an anime fan,
I say do it.
Thank you, and I hope it continues to make money. And thank you to the rest of the world, because Americans are so fucking egocentric. We only care about ourselves, and they shitted on this movie because they don't know anything about the genre.
That's right. Oh, don't know anything about anime.
Right, and they, you know, and this is one where it's very true to the genre on the screen, and it's something that comic book fans, we always kind of want. And we don't always get. And here's somebody that took a chance on a genre that's not mainstream in America. And I'm really glad that it happened. And I'm glad that it made money, man.
And don't forget, that's still without the Blu-ray sales.
Yep.
Because we gonna buy that shit.
Oh, I'll have it. I will have it.
Because I think Dread might end up getting a sequel because this Blu-ray sales were through the fucking roof. So.
I'm geeked up. ABC is talking to Lucasfilm about a Star Wars TV show. So when I posted this link, somebody was like, nah, I don't want this or something. I don't know if people realize this, but the, Star Wars Clone Wars is really fucking good.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Y'all just didn't watch it. ABC could make a good start. There's a lot of fiction in the Star Wars world that isn't in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And, it could possibly be done good, especially if they don't try to force a tie-in to the movies. Just
they've been talking about doing this for a while now, a mm-hmm. TV show. So I think it might end up happening. Like, I think, you know what I think the holdup will be? How well Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. does in the fall.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's something new, really, when you think about it, for ABC and Disney. And if that turns out good, and everybody's right now saying the pilot is really good, if that turns out good, we might start getting more of these kind of shows in network TV, and I'm hoping so.
Yeah.
Because honestly, right now, network TV seems like it's a lot of the same kind of shows. Mm-hmm. Like, even if they're good, they all are kind of the same kind of shows.
Yeah.
I want more shows like this. So yeah. I'm down for that. Make it happen.
It could be good, and... Mm-hmm.
Man, can I tell everyone how to think for a second? Let me just tell everybody how to think. We are in the golden age of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't hear a proposal and be like, I don't want that. No, let them try.
Right.
They got the money to throw out. Let them try. S.H.I.E.L.D. movies, S.H.I.E.L.D. series, Star Wars series, Black Spider-Man series, whatever. Mm-hmm. She-Hulk comics, whatever. Let them try everything because mm-hmm. shit is working now.
People,
cool. I'm people sure, take it seriously.
I'm sure people would have thought the same fucking thing about Arrow. And mm-hmm. and now look at is about to get that second season. First season was actually really good. They're about to start tying it into certain movie characters. It's good. Like mm-hmm. and because, you know, because they didn't believe the naysayers, they put it out there and treated it seriously. So, yeah. Speaking of people that get penalized for not taking shit seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Bruckheimer is about to lose that final cut on Pirates 5, y'all, because he decided to put that Lone Ranger out. And, you know, he had been putting out Pirates of the Caribbean, basically writing money for the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, to me, those movies had gotten worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, we didn't even see the last, what, two, yeah. three of them?
Last oh, one or two.
I'm so lucky, man. I saw that one in the theater for a screener. Forgettable.
Yeah. So, the Lone Ranger did so bad that Disney said, we need to think about this final cut thing. For people that don't know, directors having final cut is basically them having autonomy where they can go take this out of the movie, put this in the movie. I want this story to be focused on. I to decide what the final version of my movie looks like.
Okay.
When you're not a big time director and you're not.
Oh, you don't get that decision?
Or when you have flops and shit, they will come in and bastardize your movie and be like, no, these are the things we like. Like, so, like, for example, a person that's really, popular for this, is actually Christopher Nolan. Mm-hmm. Christopher Nolan has so much control. He even controls his trailers.
Good.
Uh-huh. Most directors don't have that ability. That's why
it's spoiled.
Right. That's why we watch so many trailers where you're like, why is the biggest moment of the movie in the trailer?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, because the movie company decided that if I didn't see, this part, then I wouldn't watch this movie.
Man, Christopher Nolan is so good with trailers. You don't even know what the movie's about.
I don't have to.
Like, Inception was like that. I saw that trailer and was like, dog, I don't know what the fuck's going on in this shit, but I think I want to see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next thing you know, I'm in the theater watching this shit going, holy fucking shit.
Yeah, Nolan trailers be like, Leonardo DiCaprio looking serious.
Mm-hmm.
Then that baseline shit they do where it's like, drum.
Yep. Zimmer's horns come in. Zimmer's horns come in.
Yep. Then they cut to like Leonardo DiCaprio looking worried. Then they cut to like Tom Hardy looking concerned. And it's just like, you don't know what's happening. This is like, here's Christian Bale with a cane. Mm-hmm. And here's, Batman jumping out of a plane.
And the thing about the Batman trailers, when you first see him, it just be darkness and Batman. You be like, I'm in. You ain't seen nothing. Right. I don't care. I just see Batman and darkness.
And it's just audio from the movie.
That's all I got.
The Zimmer horns, man.
Right.
You put them Zimmer horns on anything, you're like, okay, so I'm going to see this shit, right?
Right.
Yeah, I think so. It's like, that's some subliminal shit, man.
Yeah. I saw the new trailer for Captain Phillips. Don't want.
That's some bullshit.
Captain Phillips? I ain't even heard about this.
Captain Phillips is the movie about the dude who piloted the Maersk, Alabama. And got taken over by pirates.
Oh, I've seen that commercial.
Yeah.
The trailer before, and no. Fuck no.
No. Hell no.
Terrible.
And I love how they gloss over. I don't know if it's even in the movie, but at the time I was working for this company. I love how they gloss over the fact that this nigga took a shortcut that is not, you're not supposed to be legally allowed to take.
And they told them, don't go.
And they said,
we got pirates.
Yeah, they said pirates are here. And then I also like how in the trailer they keep showing like him about to attack a pirate when I know the military saved this dude.
Well, Right. That's what gets me about this that trailer. It's like, dude, the only thing that really anybody really cared about this shit is them snipers that were on the other boat that fucking hit headshots on the with the amazing ass fucking shots.
Yeah.
That's the only exciting part of this fucking movie, dude. Let's not act like this dude's a hero.
Yeah.
Like, no, man, come on, don't do that.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that trailer, no.
I like how they turned the most incompetent person involved in the situation and made the movie out of him because he white.
Of course.
That's basically what this shit is like. But he's a 50-year-old white man. We can get Tom Hanks to play him and people can relate to him.
They actually should be arrested.
Yeah, see, real life impossible white man shit don't fly, dog. That
yeah. Not, yeah, he would have.
Not fun to watch.
Yeah, he would have just, he sat there quietly and shut the fuck up.
Yes, he did.
He's playing the captain. Is it Harrison Ford? Yeah. No, it's not.
Nah, it's Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks. Oh, yeah. I knew it was one of them old white dudes. I was like, no.
This isn't even a movie if Tom Hanks didn't take the role, by the way.
Of course.
No.
This shit would be on Sci-Fi and they would add sharks and a hurricane to it.
I'm trying to tell you, Sharknado would be right behind it. About two-headed sharks.
Speaking of Harrison Ford, he thinks that bringing back Indiana Jones is perfectly appropriate for the time being.
Of course.
Nah, skipping that. yeah, I'm just, this is the fast round. I don't have time to fuck around and obviously the last one was terrible. Josh Whedon said that Thanos was never meant to be the next villain of this, Avengers. Age of Ultron is what they're calling it. So people are like, what happened to Thanos? And he said, well, that teaser is actually more for Guardians of the Galaxy than us. Mm-hmm. Which makes sense. Okay.
Real talk. Why do you even have to explain it? Like, motherfucker, just watch the damn movie, shut up!
Yeah. You know what it is, Aaron? It's the nerd rage journalism. Mm-hmm. Where, like, it's kind of what happened to Xbox. And people are kind of scared. Like, where if you don't answer the questions directly or to their satisfaction, people speculate so fucking hard, they ruin your shit before it's out. Like, I know that, people don't like the movie and I'm sure it sucked, but it's kind of why Johnny Depp and, Bruckheimer had a good fucking point about how critics ruined the Lone Ranger before anyone could see it. Mm-hmm. Like, it, and the same thing can happen to these, even like, especially especially something like Guardians of the Galaxy. I could see critics fucking that up for people and nerd bloggers and shit being like, oh, you know what, man? Thanos is a villain in this and not even, it's supposed to be so-and-so. I could easily see them being like, I'm not even gonna see this movie.
I'm gonna tell you right now, he's not gonna be in, you might not even really see him in Guardians of the Galaxy, but they're gonna have characters that are related to him directly, actually. And there's going to be hints of him. But I don't even think he's going to be a main character in that movie.
Yeah.
Just by the way they're doing things. But like you said, nerd rage. And what happens is it's a cycle. So they get this bit of news right now. They start freaking out. Like, everybody's freaking out about Ultron because, well, what do you mean Hank Pym's not going to create him? This is going to be terrible. Then they're going to get the first teaser. And I don't see enough. Then when they finally get a full trailer for it, I've seen too much. They're ruining the movie for me. It's like, shut up and watch the movie.
Right.
You're gonna see anyway. And shut up about it.
We're in an age where you have to get ahead of your shit. Like,
I'm gonna tell you right now, there's already people right now who have already written their Avengers 2 reviews, started writing them, who have said, this movie sucks because Hank Pym is not in it and he did not create Ultron. The movie sucks. I'm telling you right now, mark my words, 4:47 PM, 8:10, on the 10th of August, 2013, Chris is saying right now that somebody's gonna complain that in their review, that because Hank Pym did not create Ultron, the movie sucks.
Yeah.
Calling it now.
Sharknado is getting a sequel.
Woo, I am in for that shit.
Sharknado needs a video game.
Yep.
That's the best shit ever.
They actually had a contest where you could name it on Twitter.
Uh-oh.
And the official name of the sequel is going to be Sharknado 2, the second one.
Listen,
doesn't get any better.
You know what? This is I've always loved about sci-fi, because their TV shows are really great, but they always have embraced the sci-fi, cheesy sci-fi, bad sci-fi movie thing. Because I remember growing up, I think they used to play the Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Mm-hmm. I missed that show.
The bad movies. I miss them too. I love watching them on, I think some of them are still on Netflix. And I love that they do this with these movies, because they know they're bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so they know they're bad, and every now and then they'll interact with their fans and help their fans create the new movie. Like, they'll have them do concepts like name the movie or even create their own movie. Like, what do you, you want Killer Bee Piranhas? Fine, we'll make a movie on that. You know, it's like, I like it because even though the movies are bad, they're having fun with the badness, and at no point do they take it seriously.
Mm-mm. You realize, like, if I spent the next 10 years of my life being in those movies, I'd be satisfied as an actor. Like, if I was 30 to 40 and I was just in those movies and I'd just be on Twitter, I'd do two of those a year and make my living and then just be inside Sharknado 7 and whatever, I would be happy as a clam.
Well, their characters are so stereotypical too. Like, you got the women are the dumb blondes, you got the black guy that always dies first. I mean, it's just like everything. It's just awesome, man.
Dude, I would be so Jamaican. You cannot fathom the accent I would put on to be in Sharknado 14.
No, Jaleel White did one. He did he did one of them, like, with the crocodile, the giant crocodile versus, like, Megalodon or something like that. He was in one of those movies, dog. Uncle was in one of these fucking movies, and he was trying to act, and it was so bad, dog. It was great.
Yeah, I do need to still see it, so I'm not even gonna hate on it. I do want to see it.
Oh, it's bad. It's real bad. It is so good.
there's a $1 million Saints Row 4 edition that includes plastic surgery.
What?
Wait, what?
Yeah, Saints Row 4 Super Dangerous Wad Wad Edition cost $1 million. It comes with a Lamborghini, a space flight, and plastic surgery.
Hey, what kind of plastic surgery? Like, are they giving you are they grafting a gun onto your arm? I mean, what is the plastic surgery that?
You know, they don't really say.
I need details if I'm gonna spend $1 million on this.
Special edition includes a Lamborghini Gallardo. Also includes a Toyota Prius to balance things out, so you won't use up all the gas. Let's see, what else is that?
Along with space flight, right?
Yeah, along with Commander in Chief Edition, the actual game, you also get a ticket for a Virgin Galactic space flight, a full size replica dubstep gun, a Houston rescue experience, a hostage rescue experience, a spa training day, a personal shopper, and vacations in Dubai and Washington D.C.
I have a feeling like this is going to be the cheapo
version
of all this.
The cheapo version of plastic surgery. Because all the other stuff seems to add up to like $900,000. Mm-hmm. Or like 900, you know, it seems to have like a lot of fucking money. So what are you getting, like $50 plastic surgery? They're going to give you some Botox injections. That's what that shit is.
Yeah, they say you can change your identity to like with plastic surgery as a bonus. So
yeah,
who are you trying to hide from?
I got some PlayStation news, y'all, for the first time in a long time.
Uh-oh. Oh, awesome.
They accidentally leaked Target flyers that showed the PS Vita being sold for $199. And Sony PS4, they said the PS4 costs are much, much smaller than the PS3 cost to the company. For the record, neither one of those matter to gamers. All right. let's see. The last story basically is that, and I think people knew this, but live tweeting TV actually does boost ratings.
Of course.
So.
Because more people start watching it.
Yeah. I'm only watching Catfish at this point because of the live tweeting, because the episodes have sucked so far this season, except for the first one.
Yeah. So, I feel like everybody knew that, but it was just one of those duh moments.
I believe Rod specifically got me watching Arrow. Specifically.
Yeah.
I was passing on that show hard until about the third time he live tweeted an episode of Arrow. I was like, all right.
Right. Rod's live tweets be like that. You'd be like, damn it, man. I guess I do got to watch this shit now, yo.
Hey, man, but you know what's funny, though, is only for good shit do I try to be like, yo, this is, like, I always had that moment after I live tweet something good where I'm like, I don't know if y'all know this shit actually good, so if you want to check it out, I would while you can, because
I can tell something's good with you when you live tweet it, because you constantly go through the fucking episodes. Like, I knew you were liking Battlestar Galactica because, nigga, you went through that shit
fast. Yes, he'd go through like a season in like 3 days. You'd be like, damn, I'm already up on season 8. You'd be like, shit, what number 10 season? It's been 4 hours.
I've watched the series before, and I tried to keep up with Rod. I was like, this thing's already on season 3. God damn.
Yeah, it was good.
Like, so, and then there was something else you were live tweeting and we were watching, and I was like, I knew you were struggling, because it was taking you like days to get through that shit. Like, you were like, 2 weeks in, he was like, yeah, I guess I'll go back to watching this shit now, man. This is not good, yo.
Yeah, especially after you watch something real good and then you watch something that is just kind of good. It's a big ass letdown. Like, right. I'm not even dissing the shows, but like, I went from Battlestar to, Firefly, which is no offense to Firefly, but, all the epicness that had just happened in Battlestar, I was like, nah, I gotta watch something that didn't happen in space, cause I want these motherfuckers to jump right into like, mech suits or some shit to go up over. Anyway, man, we gotta get out of here, man. It's been another episode of Nerd Off. Chris, Aaron, Karen, thank y'all so much for doing the show, man. I appreciate it. You guys are always welcome to Nerd Off with me, man. We definitely, had a fun time, man. You guys, I came in today feeling like I didn't have much to talk about, and, we ended up making 1 hour and 40 minutes of greatness.
Awesome.
Cool. All right. So we'll see the rest of you guys, either next week or the week after, depending on how our vacation is going. Where we talk about more nerd stuff. I saved a couple articles for next week too. So. Yep. Gonna talk about GameStop and how they had a motion to dismiss a used games class action lawsuit. So people be interested in that. We'll also talk about Xbox One and how they're actually going to allow some limited sharing with Xbox Live.
Gold. Imagine that.
Mm-hmm. Told you so.
Outrage.
All right, we'll talk to y'all next week. Peace.